Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 400, stanzas 3, 4, and 7. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. Psalter 400, stanzas 3, 4, and 7.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to the Hebrews, and thereof chapter 6. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon Noel and Nicole Busicum, who were blessed with a well-born girl in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is once again on this thy holy day that we are privileged to come round about thy everlasting word of truth. And all that can happen in this world cannot take away the truth of thy word. and it cannot take away thy word out of this world or out of the heart of thy own dear children. Thy disciples were waiting upon this day. Oh, they were waiting for the fulfillment of the promise that thou didst give unto them. For thou didst send them forth to preach, to bring that word unto the ends of the world. But they could not go yet. Lord, they could not go yet because that promise was not yet fulfilled and that Spirit of the Lord that was not yet come, and they could not do without that Spirit. For what is it without thee that is nothing but the word of a man, and it cannot convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and it cannot grant a new heart, and it has no power to give new life. Oh, wilt thou send thy Spirit then also in this day, as thou hast promised to do it unto them, even unto the ends of the world. Oh, that thou may give it unto us also, and unto our dear children, and that we also may experience what we have heard in this morning hour, in the depth of our own souls, what our wretchedness, what our misery is, that it may become a grief unto us, or that we may learn to weep and to mourn that we have left thee, the true and the living God, that we do sin against thee, that we have no desire for thee, that there is nothing in us that aspires to attain unto the blessings that thou dost promise and proffer in thy holy word. Oh, give unto us new hearts, O Lord, whether we are young or whether we are old, and wilt thou give that fire also to burn that thou hast planted in the heart of thy dear children. They have to wait, as we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, and like thy whole church, to follow in the way of faith and patience in order to receive the promises. But they have no faith, nor have they patience, except thou dost give it unto them for the first time and also by renewal. Oh, that they may wait with longing hearts, with hungering souls that may pant after thee as the hart panteth for the water brooks, that there may be a need which is burning in the heart of each and every one, a desire to come up unto thy house of prayer, but especially a desire that thou wouldst visit us in our souls, because that is the essence of it, that is the matter that needs to be fulfilled. That is what we need to receive, and thou knowest all our circumstances. Oh, do give unto us all together that life that comes from thee, that goes out to thee, and that may eat and may drink, that may receive portions that are on purpose set aside for them, as that Boaz did command unto the reapers, that thou may give, that there may be a little here and a little there, that may be left behind for those who are poor and those who are needy and those who would pick up just the little scraps, the little portions that are thrown unto the dogs, that in this afternoon hour their soul may be fed with a crumb from the Master's table. Lord, it is so outside of our hands, and thou doest as thou pleasest, but thou knowest where that thy church is. They may be old, they may be young, we do not know. Oh Lord, could it be also with these young children in the days of their youth, that they may have already in their young days that tender fear of thy name planted in their young souls, that they may go out to thee with holy longings already,
that this whole life that they may be given here upon this world, and whether it be short or whether it be long, and may be a life that is lived not for all that is passing away, but that may be lived for that purpose, that which we were created to do, and that it may be for the glory and for the honor of thy most holy name. Oh, bind it then upon each and every one of us. Do look upon us together in all the circumstances where we are in these days. Lord, do protect us as thou hast protected us thus far, because there are so many in this world who have died already from this disease and from many other diseases and accidents, and so many things that do bring us to the end of our life. Oh, that thou may watch over and protect each one of us, and that thou may give to us to see how frail that we are, that we might see, that we might feel, that our days are numbered, and that we have so few of them, and that they are so very precious, and that we can come to the end of this life, and then all the opportunity is then passed away, and then there is no more gospel that is preached unto us. Oh, then there is no more opportunity. Oh, then it is too late. Oh, then we shall waste away in all our despair, burning in that eternal pit with not a drop of water to cool our tongues. Oh, give us wisdom, Lord, that we might look before us, that we might look round about us, and that we may take heed to thy holy word, that we might seek thee while that thou art to be found. Give thy word such a place in the heart of each and every one of us and all of our children. And do look upon all thy truly sent servants in this world. And wilt thou increase their number than it was supposed to be. And that soon we would meet together as a curatorium. But that cannot be anymore. All that had to be canceled. And Lord, thou art above it all. But could it please thee? And yet to bind that work upon the hearts of those who are truly called and converted by thee, that they may be brought forth in thy own time to bring law and gospel amidst the established, but also unto the heathen and those who have not thy word of truth. Bless it also upon our mission fields, to increase the number of thy servants. And wilt thou give also to those who are persecuted for thy name's sake that courage and that strength against all the enemy which thou dost bring upon them? Oh, then they find themselves in circumstances that they are not able to meet together. Oh, they find themselves in circumstances that they are not able to endure. Then the patience and they do not have from themselves, but oh, that thou may give it unto them by renewal each and every day again, and may thou make it true, that through much tribulation they might enter into that kingdom of God. Oh, leave not us behind, as we take so many of our freedoms for granted, all our blessings each and every day. Oh, that thou may give us open eyes, open ears, understanding hearts, true humility, a place to weep, and to turn again from all our iniquity and sin unto thee, the true God. Oh, look upon all our children, their teachers, the school board, and all that labor therefore. Oh, that thou may bless the labor of their hands and the labors of the parents in the households in these days. Strengthen them for yet a little time, that thou mayest bring it to its end for this year, and that thou may give them also strength and courage and patience to endure, and thy blessing upon thy holy word. Remember thou the little children. One was just born in this week. Oh, Lord, that it may be a child born to be born again, a child whose name is not written alone in the registers of the church, but may it be a child whose name is registered in heaven. Oh, a name that is written in thy holy book, Lord, that thou may grant those parents a humble and a thankful heart. Give them wisdom in all that they must do. And wilt thou supply for them together the other children, one unborn and the other in the hospital. Lord, thou knowest all the circumstances. Thou standest all above it all. Wilt thou help and bless means that they may be used for them together. Lord, look upon us as a nation, as peoples, our governors. Oh, they need so much wisdom. They need so much strength, and they need so much courage. Oh, Lord, they need thee. They need thee that they might be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Oh, then it could be that they do not fear thee. Then it could be that they do not even think about thee. That they are looking to their own strength and to their own wisdom. Oh, Lord, we ask of thee, because thou sayest that we should remember them before thee. Thou dost say to lift them up before thee and to ask of me. Oh, Lord, we ask it of thee. Oh, give it unto them. Wilt thou help them to make the right decisions? And could it please thee to take care of us as nations and as peoples, to stay the plague and not deal with us according to our sins? Open our eyes for thy judgments and turn us again. Turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Oh, remember the unborn children, oh, multitudes and multitudes of people that are being slain each and every day. What a dangerous place, the safest place that thou hast made for them in this world, in the womb of their own loving mother, and thou hast made it. Thou dost make it as thou hast said it in thy word, that in the end of this time, that the love shall wax cold. So that heart of the mother, as she shall slay her own unborn child. Oh, Lord, remember all of the children in the wombs. Could thou stand up for them? Oh, Lord, that thou would give them their life, and that thou would spare their lives together in thy mercy, and give us also to stand up for them. Oh, that we would not be so restful as all that murder does take place all around about us, and that we could not leave our mouths so closed. Lord, look upon us in this hour. Help us to bring this little portion of thy holy word of truth. Lord, what are we? And we have no strength and no wisdom from our own side. And we do not know the condition of thy children. And we can give no power. Oh, we ask it of thee. Come again, O Lord. Open thy word, open our mouth. And come thou and open the hearts of each and every one of us. Glorify thy own name within, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Well, let us now sing Psalter 115, stanzas 2 and 4. O Lord my God, o'erwhelmed in deep affliction, far from thy rest, to thee I lift my soul. Deep calls to deep, and storms of trouble thunder, while o'er my head the waves and billows roll. 2 and 4 of Psalter 115. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in Hebrews 6, as was read to you, Hebrews 6, and thereof the 19th verse. Hebrews 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So far the words of our text, which speaks about an anchor of the soul. We want to consider that in three thoughts. First, why this anchor is necessary. Second, of what this anchor is made. And third, where this anchor is cast. An anchor of the soul. Why this anchor is necessary, of what this anchor is made, and where this anchor is cast, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What is an anchor? An anchor is a necessary piece of equipment on every ship, whether that ship is great or whether that ship is small. Children, when I was 10, 12 years old, and I used to go with an old man out on the sea sometimes to go fishing. And one time there were certain circumstances, and that boat had two propellers. And through those circumstances, both of those anchors, we had two anchors also, both of those anchors, they got caught up in those two propellers, which means that we had neither propeller nor anchor. We were not ourselves in so great a danger, but it did not go well with that ship. An anchor that is necessary. That is necessary equipment for every ship, whether that ship is great or whether that ship is small, as long as sailing that is smooth, the waters are calm, then perhaps we will not use that anchor. But it is different when the wind begins to blow and those waters, they begin to boil. And then we find out that to be without an anchor, that is a very, very dangerous circumstance. That is what we read about Paul also when he was on that ship. And then you can read that they were afraid that they were going to fall upon the rocks. And so they cast four anchors out of the stern, four of them. And that is to make sure that that boat that did not perish. Thus, that those anchors, what did they do? Those anchors, they steadied the boat. They steadied the boat in the raging of the waters within the storm. And they steadied the heart. The hearts of the mariners who feared for the boat and who feared for their lives. So our first thought, why this anchor is necessary. You understand it. But the Apostle Paul, he is not speaking just about boats and about ships. No, but he uses this as an illustration. Is that a good comparison? We read in the Bible, we heard that this morning too, that the Lord says in His word, Asaph, He says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path that is in the great waters." That is the experience of the true church of God. It is true. Isaiah, he says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea." That is a different comparison. He says, whose waters they cast up mire and dirt. Did you ever feel that? Because it is God's children who are casting that accusation against themselves. And they look in their own heart and they see that the waters in their own heart, they are casting up mire and dirt. And that is what is making those people often like a ship upon the troubled waters of the sea. Is that also what we experience ourselves? Calm waters, they do not need an anchor. Thus, the carnal man, the man just of this world, he does not need an anchor. We read in the Bible, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. And there are troubles enough in the world. There are troubles also for the wicked. They are not only for God's children. Solomon, he says, all things come alike to all. And there is one event unto the righteous and unto the wicked. So that it makes it, he says, this is vanity, this is vexation of spirit. He says, then it looks just like that God's children, they are just like the wicked. Because then they have also to endure so very many troubles. But as the wicked, they do cast up their mire and dirt, as they do experience outward troubles also in this world, their heart is dead. Is that also our heart? That our heart is dead, there is no feeling, there is no crying. Yes, in this world, but there is no cry to God. There is no sorrow. There is no desire. There is nothing in their heart that goes out after the true and the living God. Their heart is dead. There is no turmoil in their soul. And thus this anchor that the apostle speaks about, the anchor of the soul, that is not necessary. It is not so much different with the wicked, with the hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? You know what a hypocrite is. You see them on Reformation Day, boys and girls. You see them walking up and down the streets and what they call Halloween. And then they have a mask on their face. And that mask means that they wear a face that is not them. That is a hypocrite. A hypocrite has two faces. One face for here and one face for there. One face for this people, one face for that people. One face for men, another face before the Lord. That is a hypocrite. And a hypocrite, he also does not need that anchor. And why does he not need that anchor? An anchor for his soul. Because that soul of the hypocrite, that is not upon the troubled waters. Because a hypocrite, he is able to calm his own waters. We know, we study that with our young people in catechism, confession class. Temporary faith is what belongs to a hypocrite. And temporary faith, that is something that we are able to exercise in our own strength, because temporary faith is natural. It's natural. It is not spiritual. It is not given by God. It is a natural thing. It belongs to the natural man, and if it belongs to us, we can exercise it. Thus, there is an essential difference between the natural faith and the supernatural faith. There is an essential difference between temporary faith and true saving faith. And that is why that natural faith that finds itself without that need for that anchor of the soul. But it is not so with God's children. When Paul found himself upon that Adriatic Sea, and then he found himself in a great turmoil of that ship. You know the story, right, children? The turmoil, that ship, when Paul was being brought to Rome, and they were out on those waters, and those winds, they were contrary. And they could not make that boat to go in the direction, in the way that they wanted to go. And then things became worse and worse, and they became very afraid. And what did they do? We read in God's word, they undergirded the ship. You know what that means? Then they took ropes, and they went all the way underneath, and they took them on the other side. They were boats that were made of wood. And all the planks of that ship, well, they were afraid they were going to fall apart. And so they would take strong ropes, and they would put it around the ship, and they would tie those ropes together, and they would try to keep that boat from falling apart. And we say, the true church, they are as a ship upon those waters. It is a troubled sea. And what do they try to do in that troubled sea? Then so often they are people that are taking ropes and they are trying to tie it together. They are trying to keep that ship of their life, the conversion. They take all the little things that may have happened in their life upon which they have hoped, and they have, as it were, strung it together into a life of the true church. And they are afraid to lose a single board, because when they will lose a single one, then they are afraid that ship goes down. And then when they come in trouble, then they are looking over. They are going back again in their life, and they are saying, yes, but is not this what happened there in my youth? And is this not a time that the Lord, He has given to me a blessing? Was not I filled by the Lord in the house of the Lord this time or that time? And did I not receive this promise from the Lord? And then they are trying to tie that all together. And when that ship that is going upon those waves. But that boat that Paul was in that did not just calm down. And we can read that they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Thus it becomes an exceeding tossing. So that the people, they truly begin to fear for their life. And then we can read that they lighten the ship. You know what that means, children? They lighten the ship. Well, those ships, they always had, they had people in them. But they were actually merchant ships. So they were taking merchandise from one place to another. And while they were taking that merchandise, then people also were brought along with that merchandise. And that merchandise was important because that was the things that they would sell. They bought them on this side, they sell them on that side. That is how they made their living. But when that ship was on the sea, then they actually took all that merchandise and they threw it overboard. They say, well, wasn't that merchandise important? Or it was important one time. but it is not so important anymore. Are there things that are important to us? So many things that are important, right? They're important today because we think that we're going to live today, tomorrow, and next week. But if now death comes before us, and then we are afraid to die if we had a terrible sickness, and then all those things, well, then they are going to begin to lose their importance. And then we can do without them. And so that is now also, even with religion, there are so many things that God's people, they have to lose. Even of all the religion, when they think in that day when they become afraid, how that they have come up with desire to the house of the Lord and the love of the Lord that was poured out in their heart and so on. And then they begin to say, yes, but is that now something that I can die with? And that becomes worse. That is what we read also from the Apostle Paul in that journey. Because they did not only throw over all the merchandise, but we can read that they also at one time, because it got so bad, that they threw over the tackling of the ship. The tackling of the ship. What is that? That is, well, you say, those are the necessary things. That was the equipment that was on the boat. They only kept that which was very, very essential. And all the other tackling and equipment they threw overboard because they thought that weighs us down, that puts us too deep into the water. You say, well, that is necessary equipment on that boat. Yes. But they are in a storm. Necessary things. There are necessary things for life. And there are things when we come, we believe, to the end of our life, say they are not necessary anymore. They are for us. They are for us, not a foundation. And if we think about God's people and how that storm goes when they are going through that sea in the fear for their life, that they will die and that they will perish. Do you ever fear to die? Do you ever fear to perish when you die? Or do you not think too much about death? And God's children, they do. Even when they have no disease. Because the Lord, He binds the seriousness of life upon the heart of a person. And he begins to think about dying. And he begins to be afraid also to die. And he has a desire that he may be instructed by the Lord, that the Lord would reveal himself to him and so on. And he is so glad. His heart that rejoices in the revelation of Christ. And yet, when that storm is there, and when that death that is beginning to stare them in the face, well, then they begin to realize something. They begin to realize that a revelation of Christ, that is not yet the application of Christ. That the gifts of Christ, they are not yet the giver. That is not yet Christ Himself. That the espousal, that is not yet the marriage. That the tokens that I may have received, They are not yet the assurance. Thus, with everything that they have received, then they are looking now for a foundation. What is now the basis? What do I need not only to continue in life, but what do I need to die? And yet the Lord, He is not finished with them. He says, is it not bad enough? From their side, they say, it is bad enough. They cry unto the Lord. They are in distress. We cannot imagine what that was for that people that were on that boat. But do you know what we read? It got worse. We read that when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Oh, is that true in our life? That neither sun nor star has for many days appeared. And it says, and no small tempest lay upon them. No light. No light from heaven. And a great turmoil in their soul. Then we read, all hope was taken away that we should be saved. All hope taken away. They had fear, and there was despair, an utter despair. Now they could not expect any more, and they thought for sure, that my life is now going to end in the depths of these waters. All what is taken away? All hope. All hope. That is an awful thing. But all hope is taken away. And when there is a complete despair, that is an awful thing. You read that sometimes about hope in this world, that men, they will take their own life. Oh, young people, we warn you, that if Satan, if he ever robs you of all your hope, and that you have thoughts to take away your own life, that you remember that it says in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. Murderers, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. The world and man by nature, he has no anchor. He has no anchor. He has nothing to steady him. And when those waters of the sea, they begin to boil. But now the Lord, what does He do? The Lord, He is purposely taking away from His children all of their hope. And He does that on purpose. Not that they would take their life. No, they will be kept from taking their own life. It cannot be. It shall never be. But the Lord takes all that hope away, that He may give to them a hope that may be as an anchor to their soul. That is what we read. The Lord, He establishes His people with such a hope And we read that in that history also of Paul. Because now when all hope was taken away, and there was a complete despair on that ship, then the Lord comes. That was now the moment. Because when there is now nothing left from man, oh, then there is an opportunity for the Lord. And now the Lord can get his honor. And that is why the Lord, he is waiting. Ah, he is doing more than waiting. He is taking it all away. He is taking it all away. And when it is all gone, and he brings that people into a holy despair, and then he comes. And Paul, then he speaks unto that people. And he begins to speak about to that people the promise of the Lord. Is that not something? The promise of the Lord. He says, there stood by me an angel tonight. And that angel said to me, fear not, Paul, for thou must appear before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. The promise of the Lord. And what did that promise become for those people? You can read that. In that boat, there was still time to come. They were still had to be in that boat. But there comes a time that Paul, he says to those men, he says, be of good cheer. Take now something to eat. Because there shall no man die. And you read that those people, they did so. They began to eat, and they began to drink, while the waves, they are roaring, and that ship that is bouncing on the water. But they had an anchor. What was that anchor? That was that promise of the Lord. That promise of the Lord that did calm that people in that boat. That promise of the Lord was their hope. Their hope. Thus, we say, what is that anchor made out of? Children, what was the anchor made out of? That anchor that is made out of hope. And it is hope that kept that people still in their heart in that storm. And that is now what the Apostle Paul, he is speaking about in our text. He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. What is hope? Hope is not something that we have, that we possess, but hope is something that looks into the future. That is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So hope is not what we possess, but hope that has to do with the future. And where does hope come from? Hope comes from a promise. Children, when do you have hope? Your hope begins in that moment. In that moment when your father, your mother, they say to you, we are going to go on a trip. on a trip. Then you begin to hope. You begin to look forward, or your father says, I'm going to give you something, and you are looking forward to receive it. Hope that is based on a promise. The winter time when it is cold and snowing, and we get tired, and then we are looking for the spring. And you say you hope for the spring. Is it coming? How do you know it's coming? You say it always comes. Wait a moment. It always comes why? That is based on a promise, isn't it? You go back to Noah. And the Lord said that all the seed, the springtime and the harvest and so on, all those seasons, He gave a promise that is going to come. And the hope that we have in the winter for the coming of the spring is based on the promise of the Lord. If you have no promise, then there is no basis to hope for something. If your father, your mother says, I promise this to your brother, to your sister, then it is not a promise for you. You cannot hope on it. You say, I need to receive that. That is right. Abraham had a promise, didn't he? And it was that promise when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. It was the promise of the Lord that gave him patience. Through all that he had to endure, he had to wait 25 years until that promise was fulfilled. See, Lot, when he was in Sodom, then you say, well, the Lord always takes care of his people, right? The Lord should all, the God's children, they should always trust that God will care for them. Yes, in a general way. But could Lot stay in Sodom and then trust that the Lord would care for him? You say, no, that cannot be. That's right. And why not? He had no promise for that. So faith and hope, it is always on a promise. There has to be a promise. It has to take hold of something. That is not just a general thing. What are the disciples, what were they waiting upon? They were waiting upon the promise of the Lord. What did the Lord say before he ascended into heaven? The Lord gave them a promise. He said to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until the Spirit be poured upon you from on high. So they were waiting and they were hoping and there was expectation for the fulfillment of that promise. There are many promises that are not kept. That is a vain waiting. You keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and it never comes. Do we know what that is? When we are children, young people, you will experience it in your life because the Satan, devil, he promises you so many things. He promises you that you will have happiness if you seek this in the world and that in the world. And now watch, just watch. Feel what your expectation is and the advertisements for this or for that or for that and always. So in such a way that it will, well, it's going to make your life new and it's going to make you happy. Watch. Afterward, when you have it, if that is really true, watch to see. Is the devil right? Or is the devil a liar? He should stop promising because he never gives what he promises. And yet our heart keeps going out after the things that he is promising. There is a hope and there is an expectation over and over and over again. Oh, we do not learn. We are corrupt. The Lord, he cannot He cannot break his promise. Why can the Lord not break his promise? Well, because God is not a man like we are. He is not the devil. He is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God, he is the unchangeable God. And the promise of the Lord that is so sure. Now what does Paul say? He says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Two immutable things, two unchangeable things. What are those two unchangeable things? First place, it is the promise of the Lord. It is unchangeable. Unchangeable. And the Lord has added to his unchangeable promise oath. Oath. Thus, Paul says, by two immutable things, the Lord, he has made it so sure that every promise of the Lord shall certainly be fulfilled. And that is why the Apostle Paul, he speaks here about a hope that we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Because there is no breaking of the promise of the Lord. Let us sing. Psalter 310, 2, 4, and 6. Brought nigh to death and full of grief, the Lord's salvation I besought. He heard my cry. He sent relief. My soul from depths of woe he brought. 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 310. which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. That is our third thought, where that anchor is cast, which hope we have, both sure and steadfast. There are many hopes that are not sure and steadfast. The Bible that talks about a hope that is as a spider's web. You know what that is, children, right? Saw one yesterday. Outside, large web with a spider. Then all I need to do is take my hand, push it down, it is all gone. One moment. Hope. Hope like a spider's web. You know what the Bible says? It says that the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hope of the true church that is not so. Why not? Because it is based on something else. Because it is based upon the unbreakable promise and the oath of the unchangeable God. That hope of Hannah, that was just a little anchor. But it held that little ship so sure, so steadfast. That hope of Ruth, oh, that was just a little anchor. It was just a peradventure. But she had cast in her lot with the people of the Lord. And that hope was also not put to shame. But there are bigger ships. There are bigger ships, and the bigger the ship, the larger the anchor that is necessary. You need something that is heavier. Why? Because the apostle, he says, grow in grace. And we know when our children grow, then they get heavier. And when God's children, they grow in grace, and they get heavier too. Ask them. Because the weight of sin that just keeps increasing. They add to that in thought, word, deed, omission, commission, each and every day. And so, the need for a weight that when the waters, they are troubled, to hold that ship steady. What do they need? They need to more and more see where is the foundation. Where is the foundation? What is the hope of my soul? What is it based upon? Can I really die? Paul, he says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The veil. What is the veil? Then it brings us to the tabernacle. Then there was a veil, and behind the veil was, well, that was the Holy of Holies. That was the place where God dwelt. No man could come in there. He would do that at the peril of his life. But if you came under in behind that veil, then there was the Ark of the Covenant, and there was the mercy seat and the cherubims, and they were over atop of that mercy seat. And now he says, this anchor that entereth in to that within the veil, what does he speak about? Well, with the entering in, then it speaks about that high priest who entered in to behind that veil.
He came back there to do his work, high priestly work.
So that points us to just what happened. What happened this week? Well, say we commemorated the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is right. That was the fulfillment. And that great high priest that he came in behind that veil, that he may do that high priestly work. And now this is what Paul speaks about. He speaks about that anchor of hope that is entering in into that within the veil. That is a secret place. That is heaven. That is the place where the Lord Jesus, he has sat down on the right hand of his Father, where he is given a special work, a mysterious work, on the behalf of his church. And sometimes the Lord is giving God's children that hope as an anchor to be cast there within that veil. And those that may be privileged to cast that anchor within that veil, he says they have a hope that is sure and steadfast. What did the Lord Jesus bring children to heaven? Did he bring to heaven? You know. Say, brought something to heaven. He brought something of ours to heaven. What did he bring? He brought our nature. He did not come from heaven with our nature, the human nature. He came only as a spirit. But when he went back to heaven, and he had our nature, heard that, Ascension Day, he opened that heaven, that his people, they may enter there, not only with their soul, but also with their body. Thus, the apostle, he speaks about this. He says that church that has entered with Christ into heaven, and thus Christ, he has brought his church back into the Father heart of God. That is more than the resurrection. It is the ascension and the sitting at the right hand of God. And then he has brought back into that reconciliation with him, that he may be to them Father, and that they may be to him a son. When soul that may cast that anchor within that veil, then there is a great steadiness to that ship. It is, children, a little like if you have a little infant brother or a little infant sister, then you know that they cannot say that is mother and that is father. You can do that. You say, I know who father is and I know who mother is. You say, why can they not do that? And you say, they are too small. They do not know who mother and father are yet. That is right. And so, what happens? You go away to your friend's house. You cannot see your mother and your father. Do you cry? No, you do not cry. Right? Say, mother, father will come back. I know who they are. They will take care of me. Right? And your little brother or your little sister, do they cry? Say, yeah, they cry. They cry. Why? Because they need to see mother. They need to see father. They need to feel. They need to be in their arms. That is right. And now that is the way that the Lord He makes his people also to grow up, to grow up. If the Lord converts us, then we cannot call God our Father. We do not know that He is our Father. If the Lord truly converts us, He is our Father. But we do not know that. We cannot say that. And it's necessary that God's people, they grow up in grace. And now that is what the Apostle Paul, he speaks about also. Because when the Lord Jesus, that is another step. In those steps of grace, in the justification, that is, in the resurrection, Paul says that is corresponding, and that is the experience of that church, the justification. But there is more. Then there is also the knowledge of that God is my Father, that is to be brought back into that Father heart. And you can then imagine a little what that is that the Apostle Paul is speaking about, because there are so many people today, they are talking about assurance. And they say you have to be assured, you have to believe. And that assurance that is belonging to that faith, and therefore you have to believe that God is your Father. Wait a moment. We cannot just take so many hops and skips and steps all at one time. That is not the way that the Lord is making his people to grow. The Apostle Paul, he says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in within the veil. Oh, the steadfastness that the Lord is giving unto his people. When they also may be given to know that God is their Father, then it is making that ship that in every storm, when they cannot see Him, when it is dark, and still they know that the Lord, He will care for them, and that gives a great steadiness unto that boat. Whither it says the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made in high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is the order of Melchizedek? Well, Paul speaks about that elsewhere. That is the eternal priesthood. That is now the basis of the reconciliation of God with his people, whereby that they may become his children again. Now, the more that the church grows, the more that sin increases, the more weakness that they find, the more that they come to know that they have to be saved with their hands down. Oh, to cast that anchor into that veil, because there is nothing. All that is a people, just like Paul in that ship, all hope was taken away. That they should be saved. That people, they have come in their own estimation already. They have come into those awful, awful waters. They have already perished. And then the Lord is giving them to cast at that anchor within that veil. Oh, that they may be given an eye to look, and that they might hear something. From that Jesus, that high priest, who is made for an eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek, then there is nothing. Oh, then there is nothing that is able to make that people to perish anymore. Then they may be on the sea that is boiling. Oh, then they may have all the enemies standing around about them, but with the anchor that is cast behind that veil, all then there is nothing that is able to make them afraid. All then they can say with the Apostle Paul, be of good cheer, for there shall not be the loss of any man's life. All then they can sing, our hope that is on Jehovah stayed. In him our hearts are joyful made. O congregation, what is our hope? What is our hope? Where is our anchor cast? It is cast at something. We are not despairing today, are we? Are we in despair? If I would ask in a personal way, you would say, I hope there is a tomorrow. Still. And a next day. And a next day. Is that where it ends? Or just hoping for another day? That is not going to continue. That is now a hope. That is like a spider's web. The Lord may give it to us. We don't know. It can be for a short time yet. It can be for many years yet. And it can be very, very short. Yet, it is our hope, is it not? Is that our only hope? Do you know it is so pitiful, parents, when we see our children and they are hoping for something. They're looking forward to it. Sometimes we say, don't get your hopes up too high. Why? Why do we say that? Because it hurts so much. When we see their hopes dash. Hoping, 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 the expectation, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And we are weeping for them. Can we now imagine what that shall be if we are hoping and hoping and hoping that we come to the gates of heaven, suddenly all our hope that is taken away. Paul, he says, which hope we have. Do we have it? He sets it before us as a lure. Oh, he says, do we also have this hope? Or is our only hope for another day? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in within the veil, then it does not matter what life brings. And when death comes, then that is a hope that will not make ashamed because of those two immutable things wherein it is impossible for God to lie. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us, and what our hope is in this day, in this hour. Oh, do give us to examine ourselves. Do give us to take it home with us and to turn it over this way and that way, and to examine that question. What is now my hope? Is that now a hope that I have? O Lord, open our eyes to the false hopes, which are like a spider's web, that we may have a desire, young and old, to know of that hope that is sure and steadfast, bring us safely home. Care for us in the week to come. Spare us each and every one from all danger, accident, and evil. And wilt thou keep us from sin? Wilt thou prosper also the work of our hands? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 365 stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.